is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
A banking crisis in California, the Silicon Valley Bank. What we've learned about banking over the years, especially since the Great Recession of 2008, is that it doesn't stay locally. What starts in Silicon Valley doesn't stay there. First, a New York bank, Signature, goes down. Then regional banks are all in question. The markets themselves are roiled by fear of what could come next. So people moving their money to large city bank or large money center banks. And then a banking crisis in Europe. It goes off again and again, the anxiety that you feel in these moments. I welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution to comment on leadership in a crisis. The joke about airplanes is very boring flying, except for a few minutes of terror when you land or take off. Right now, the anxiety is palpable around the world. And we have in place these years what Holman Jenkins of the Wall Street Journal has called a super elderly leadership class. Note, the president right away came out and told us the banking sector is safe. That is impossible to know on the first day of a crisis. The Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, came out even before the president and said there would be no bailouts. Let's focus on that. Victor, what we learned in 2008 was that bailouts are the worst possible remedy, because what we have from the 2008 is that bailing out the big banks led to years of almost no growth and no real recovery until the Trump administration. And then even now, that was put into doubt by the pandemic. Bailouts solve nothing. And yet, that was the first choice by the Biden administration, by the president and the secretary of the treasury. And then they did us no favor by claiming there were not bailouts. The Wall Street Journal says bailouts. The Financial Times says bailouts. Bloomberg says bailouts. Barron says bailouts. These are bailouts. So why didn't they learn from 2008? And what did we learn? Good evening to you, Victor.
Good evening. Well, Silicon Valley is the most influential, powerful institution in America, John. It's got $9 trillion of market capitalization. Their major companies do, and they are the bulwark of the Democratic Party. I mean, last election, over $1 billion went into quote unquote election integrity, all of these PACs that sort of absorb the work of registrars. So they're very powerful and they're very well connected. Here in California, Gavin Newsom lobbied, we know, Joe Biden to keep the bank alive. And we know that two or three of his businesses were major clients. And so there was a lot that bank and Silicon Valley themselves have a special exemption when you have a Democratic government, and it's a quid pro quo process. They provide money and donations, and they receive in turn political exemptions and on a variety of fronts. And then I think we also lost institutional memory about the destructiveness of inflation and how people who lived through the 70s and 80s saw it. And when you get high inflation, it's very hard to keep up with it. And these companies, when we're in a recession at the same time, and we're heading into one, I think, when stagflation, people do not want to borrow money at high interest. If they don't borrow at high interest, they have no income. If they have no income, then they're not able to service their depositors who want their money out. And then when they're invested in long-term bonds from the no inflation era and they get no income on those, you've got the ingredients for this meltdown.
Do we have the leadership we need in a banking crisis and a financial crisis? Presuming there's one forming. I can't tell. That's the detail here. That's what makes for panic. That's why
not if we have the same group, because remember, this administration came in to power with a 2.9 interest rate and on 30-year mortgages and about a 1.7 inflation rate. And since that time, after it printed all of this money and the interest rates got even lower, we were assured back in May of 2021, when prices started to go up and supplies were very limited coming out of COVID, that there would be no inflation or that it would be transitory. That's what our Federal Reserve Chairman told us. That's what our Treasury Secretary told us. And they were absolutely wrong. And they did exactly the wrong things. They kept interest rates too low for too long, and they printed too much money. And those people are still in power. So I don't know if they can rectify the crisis and the catastrophe that they created themselves.
Does Washington understand that by bailing out well-to-do depositors at Silicon Valley Bank, that makes everyone, that puts everyone at risk? Not only are we going to pay for it through the FDIC, through higher fees, some way it'll be transferred to the consumer, but it means that the risk takers have license to keep enormous amounts of money in banks and not worry about losing it if the bank failed because the FDIC's $250,000 limit no longer means anything. It's gone away.
Well, no longer means anything in theory, but when Joe Biden said it wouldn't cost us any, that he was going to get it out of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, that institution only has about $170 billion. And so it can't possibly cover very many of these meltdowns, and the U.S. government would have to come in, and the U.S. government has finite resources, so they can say all they want, but when this keeps happening, people are going to get hurt. And the irony of this bank in Silicon Valley was, we all know that if this had been a rural Indiana farm bank, and there was a bunch of rural people of the middle class, and this collapsed, and one or two of them had $300,000, they would have lost $50,000. They would have been tough on them. But this was different because of its location and the type of industry that serviced the bank. It's right in the midst of Silicon Valley with all that money and power. It's right next to Stanford University with all of these consultants and prestige. It's right next to the Bay Area where we have the most prominent politicians, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Gavin Newsom. You name it. So it's a special case that's protected. And I think after this, there's going to be a big outcry that this not happen again. We'll see if that will be successful. But because you're right, if you keep giving exemptions and amnesties, then people are going to continue this reckless, stupid, or incompetent behavior.
And then the question of leadership again and again. It comes to this, the favored bank, Silicon Valley Bank, gets bailed out. What does that tell us about the Biden administration? What does it tell us about the way they make decisions? Cronies only, Victor? I know crony capitalism used to be fashionable. Is it back?
Yeah, it is, but it's back in a different way. I mean, this is Solyndra Redux. Remember Solyndra? And yes. What I mean by that is if an institution identifies itself on the cutting edge of Green New Deal like policies or diversity, equity, inclusion or DSG. And it's labeled that it's working for the progressive project, and people feel that, well, they may have made a slip here and there, but the ends are so noble that the means are justified in almost every case. So that's another thing that it's very worrisome. And a lot of people, I'm not saying that caused this meltdown, but if you were to read their website and listen to the statements of some of their top administrators and financial officers, they talk more about themselves and their fides as far as their diversity and their politics. And we don't want to hear that from a bank. We don't want to know what the bankers' politics are. We don't want to know what their agendas are other than financial integrity and responsibility.
Yes, Victor and I are old enough to remember that what we wanted a banker is named George Bailey. Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, Leadership in a Crisis. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.